Thank you, Court. Our scripture this morning is from Acts chapter 5, verses 27 through 32. And this morning we begin a new series entitled We Are Witnesses. And it will be utilizing the scriptures from primarily the book of Acts. As we talk about being witnesses to Christ, being witnesses to that love. And to set this up just a little bit, we need to understand that Peter was traveling about and sharing the light, as the choir just sang, carrying the light of Christ into the world. And that got him into trouble at times. When the authorities had brought them, they had them stand before the council. And the high priest questioned them, saying, "We gave you strict orders not to teach in this name. Yet here you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching, and you are determined to bring this man's blood on us." But Peter and the apostles answered, "We must obey God rather than any human authority. The God of our ancestors raised up Jesus, whom you had killed by hanging him on a tree. God exalted him at his right hand as leader and savior, so that he might give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are witnesses to these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Would you pray with me, please? Gracious and loving God, we give you thanks for this day. We give you thanks for the opportunity to come together to worship and praise you this morning. We ask that you would open our hearts, open our minds, and open our spirit to the work that you are doing within us. May the words that we say be a blessing and an honor to you. In Christ's name, amen. This morning, as we heard in the Gospel of John, we hear about Thomas. I think he gets a little bit of a bad rap with this doubting Thomas situation. Let's go back just a little bit before this, and maybe you can see what my thinking is on that. We remember that at the tomb, everyone was astonished. The stone had been rolled away. The body of Jesus was gone. And they had this dread, not knowing what had happened, until Jesus appeared to Mary. And she recognized him and went and told the disciples that he's risen, he's alive. But do you remember how that scripture ended? How that passage ended? The disciples went away, went back to that locked up room, or that room where they were locked in, trying to lock out the people that they thought were coming to kill them next. They were still scared, they were confused. And so, as we hear in the passage from John's Gospel this morning, that same day in the evening, Jesus appears to them. Inside that locked room, he appears to them. And in John's Gospel, he gives them the Holy Spirit by breathing that breath of life, that breath of spirit, upon them. They believed that they had seen Jesus. But you know, it didn't make a big difference to them, because when Jesus left them, what did they do?
They stayed in that locked room. They didn't go out. They were still afraid. Now, Thomas may have gone to get some provisions or something. We know that he was not there with them. Maybe he had to make it back to that place because he was hiding out somewhere else. And when they told him that Jesus is alive, we've seen him, he's appeared to us here, Thomas said, "You guys are crazy. We know that Jesus was dead. I don't know what y'all seen, but it probably wasn't Jesus, and I won't believe it until I see him myself." I don't know if he put a damper on things by saying that, but whatever happened, they stayed in that locked room because that's where they were when Jesus appeared to them again, 1 week later. And he tells Thomas that there's no need to doubt. It's time to believe. Here's my hand. Here's my side where I was pierced. And although Thomas had said, "I won't believe until I put my hand in the nail prints, or put my finger in the nail prints and my hand in his side," Thomas's response was to immediately drop to his knees and declare, "My Lord and my God." Doesn't sound like a doubter to me. In fact, with that pronunciation, Thomas was the first person to declare Jesus was God. Again, doesn't sound like a doubter to me. And so, over the next 50 days, as Jesus worked with the disciples, as Jesus appeared to them again and again to continue teaching and to tell them that the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, was coming at Pentecost, they began to get into their heads the mission that was ahead of them. The mission to carry the light. Carrying the gospel, the good news to all the world, to be witnesses of that good news that was good news for everyone. Now, I have to admit that at the very beginning, they concentrated on the Jewish community there in Jerusalem and in the area around Jerusalem. We'll hear in a couple of weeks, maybe next week, about this other disciple by the name of Paul, whose encounter with the risen Christ leads him to become the first evangelist to the Gentile population. But all of this comes together to remind us that just as those first disciples were, we are called to be witnesses. We're called to tell others. And about how we're called to tell others about how Jesus has changed our life. How our encounter. encounter with Jesus has changed our life. And we don't even have to speak words. We can show it by our actions. We can show it by how we live our life. We can show it by how we treat others. Saying attributed to St. Francis is, preach the gospel at all times, use words only when necessary. And he's talking about how we live serves as our witness to Christ's work in our life. Now I've got to tell you that a lot of times we collectively, as a church, collectively, do a bad job of that. Sometimes we try and figure out how best to exclude people from something that's inclusive. Sometimes we work harder at trying to keep the doors closed than opening them up. Sometimes it's part of our human nature that when we found something, we want to hold on to it for ourselves and not share that with other people. And I'm not talking about McFarland. I'm saying just pretty much us Christians in general. And we've got to change that. Hopefully, our encounter with Christ is such that it is a life-changing event for us. For some people, that life-changing event could be instantaneous. For others, it takes a lot of work and a long period of time. You Wesleyans call that sanctification as we become closer and closer and closer to that image of God that is residing in each and every one of us. I think we all can probably name people in our own sphere of influence through the years that when we see them, we see Christ at work. That should be our objective as well. It should be our objective. Because we have truly something of great price. We have a God who loves us more than anything. Despite all the stupid things that we've done, despite all of the craziness that we've been involved in spite of our bad nature, in spite of our bad nature at times, in spite of our being grumpy at times, in spite of our falling short of expectations, God loves you. Nobody can take that away from us. Nobody can take that away from you. I like to put it this way: God loves you whether you like it or not. jury matters. Witness. You don't have to be like, what was his name, Daniel, you know, or I don't know who I'm talking about, but street corner preacher and stand out on the corner, not on a street corner down there in the road, aquarium, yell at people, tell everybody they're going to hell. Is that a wonderful message you want to hear? What an attractional evangelism that he was doing. I'm sure it got to some people. I think, unfortunately, though, that his method probably turned off more people than it turned on people to Christ. But if we live as if Christ is making a difference in us, then I think the people around us will see that we have changed. And it's that change that can be attractive. It's that change that can make people want what you have. And then when they ask you, what is it, that opens that door. That opens the door to reality. Jesus Christ. Witnessing. Can it be easy? We just met God. I started off talking about Thomas and how I didn't think that he was a doubter, that he got a bad rap. Well, you may not know it, but Thomas is credited with carrying the gospel message to the people of India. Doesn't sound like a doubter to me. Don't let doubts and fears dampen your witness. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. We invite you to visit our website at mcfarlandumc.org to learn more about our church and the ministries that we provide to the Rossville and East Lake communities around Chattanooga. May God's blessings be yours.